But whenever he thought of quitting, giving up, he needed only to reflect on those that he had left behind in the cancer ward. You know, they lived with pain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They didn't have a switch. They couldn't stop if they stop the pain if they wanted to, whereas he could. He could immediately stop running and his pain would immediately go away. So that's always what kept Terry motivated to keep going, to keep pursuing that next goal. And it was always a benchmark. It was always comparing himself to what others were going through.
That's Provincial Director of the Terry Fox Foundation, Daryl Fox. And this is Difference Makers, a Christina Walker podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome back or welcome to Difference Makers. I'm your host, Christina Walker, a Canadian rower on the pursuit of sharing conversations from people who have made a difference in their profession. Now, I do want to apologize in advance of the audio. We're having some technical difficulties these days, but I hope it doesn't take away from the conversation that I share with Daryl today. Yes, my guest today is Daryl Fox, Terry Fox's brother. And let me just say this, both Terry and Daryl Fox have had profound impacts on my life. Terry's pursuit and determination has always been an inspiration to me, and for Daryl, well, his commitment and devotion to his brother's legacy is truly remarkable. So thank you, Daryl, for giving me the opportunity to relive the experience that you had 40 years ago. Now, just before we dive in here, this podcast is once again sponsored by Marathon Surfaces. Suppliers of rubberized surfacing for running tracks, sport venues, walking paths, and safety surfacing for playgrounds. So, without further ado, please welcome Daryl Fox.
So, I'll start right now then. And I'm going to just do a couple, it's like a minute or so, maybe synopsis of the reason why I actually wanted to really talk to you about this, because of the impact you've had on my life without even knowing, as well as Terry. And it goes back to my dad, who all through my childhood, he would always tell us the story about Terry Fox. And it wasn't just every year when the Terry Fox run would happen, but it was kind of like those sort of hero stories or something to aspire to be or want to accomplish in life. And his story was, if I can do it justice, I'm not sure, but back in 1980, I guess he came across a poster, and this was at the time of when Terry Fox had already started his journey of the Marathon of Hope. And he saw this poster that had expressed Terry Fox's journey of what he was about to trying to accomplish, as well as maybe if there was people who wanted to join in partway through or start their own fundraisers along the way to help raise money towards this Marathon of Hope. And my dad at the time, he had just picked up cycling with one of his best friends, Jim, and they decided to then go from Toronto to Ottawa and bike within 24 hours and try to meet Terry in Ottawa. And they did that. And it's funny because one of the stories that he often brings up of sort of resilience for himself is when he was biking, then I think it was on his left of his right leg or something. He was started to get in a lot of pain and couldn't bike anymore. And so Jim was like, just duct tape your foot to the bike. and so he did that. And I think there was many moments where maybe he felt like, oh, I'm not sure if I could do this. And he would have a picture of Terry in his head being like, if I could do this, then you could do this. And so that kind of propelled him into being able to accomplish that little feat of then meeting Terry in Ottawa. And I guess you guys all went for dinner that night. And then he invited them to go running the next morning. And I think just that whole experience not only impacted my dad, but then him telling the stories of that experience on me has impacted my life tremendously, not only as an athlete, but as a person. And anytime I've sort of done any sort of charity work or anything of that sorts, I'm always kind of led back to Terry Fox and how much of a hero he has been in my life. So it is a great privilege to not only sit down with you and talk to you about this story, but to really hear your side of the story and the impact that you've had on the world, essentially, Daryl. So thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with me.
My pleasure, Christina. Thank you very much for sharing the story. I was hoping you would elaborate on, you know, what your dad and Jib accomplished in 1980, even prior to getting on this morning. I found a couple of photos from Garth and Jim, one at Nathan Phillips Square, before they started the process, when they were collecting pledges. And it was really a big moment for Terry in 1980, because, you know, things, as much as they were successful in the early stages of the Marathon of Hope, it wasn't until they crossed the border into Ontario until things really took off. And for Jim and Garth to raise over $50,000 was significant. And I remember it clearly. And I remember how moved Terry was by what Garth and Jim had accomplished. And it spoke to what lay ahead down the road for Terry. So he was really thrilled by that opportunity to meet. And it was certainly a Marathon of Hope highlight for all of us.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's sounds like quite the experience. And my dad often talks about it, and he definitely said to make sure he says hello. So he's probably very envious that I get to have this conversation with you. but my first kind of question that I wanted to ask you was your experience during that time, and what was your role during the Marathon of Hope?
Yeah, well, I think I'll start by saying, you know, there wasn't an application process for me to become the third member of the Marathon of Hope. My resume was not screened. I went by default. There was no one else available. And at the time, you know, there were only two members of the Marathon of Hope, Terry and of course, Doug Allward, who drove the van during the run, and Terry's best friend and best competitor through high school and all various sports, running basketball and so on. So, and they had planned meticulously for the Marathon of Hope, you know, determined the route, how far they were going to go, had solicited and received support from many, you know, firms for the van, for example, shoes from Adidas and so on. But what they didn't prepare for was living together in close confines 24 hours a day with your best friend. So if someone else didn't join the Marathon of Hope, it was going to be the murder of the Marathon of Hope. So again, I was, and this is Wilbur joining me. I was available, and I quickly reviewed the skills that I had, you know, accumulated to the age of 17, and realizing that I had none, that I would tag along just to do what I felt that I could do, and that was provide Terry with some comic relief, you know, some companionship. I had a sense of humor in 1980. I've lost it since, so if you find it, let me know. But little did I know that I would be witnessing, you know, a miracle. And, you know, that's something that I feel so proud of, that here I am 40 years removed from the Marathon of Hope. And, you know, people like yourself are still interested, the next generation, in hearing about the story. And I feel very proud and honored and touched that I'm in this position to talk about Terry every day of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that I wanted to dive into, which was how not only the fact that Terry's your brother, but it's impacted you to then kind of live out his legacy. And it's such a selfless act that you have put on yourself of any other kind of pursuits you may have wanted in life, and then kind of giving that full devotion towards the Terry Fox Foundation is just unheard of and phenomenal. So how has that impacted your life?
Yeah, it didn't come quickly and easy for me, to be honest, Christina. Like, first of all, there was dealing with the loss, you know, the loss of someone you saw as being invincible, you know. You know, Terry ran 42K, 26 miles every day on artificial legs. So, you know, up until the last day of the Marathon of Hope, I was expecting that he would continue. And even when he was forced to stop and cancer had been confirmed that it returned to his lungs, I just thought he was going to bounce back and finish the run. Well, that didn't happen. So there was a very dark period for me in terms of accepting, you know, that, wow, this, we're really up against something big with this disease if it took Terry Fox. And you know, I feel I'm not happy with those years that followed, but I just didn't know how to deal with the loss. And, you know, thankfully, you know, my mom was very prominent and active from the very beginning. You know, she was Terry's, you know, messenger and ensured that the baton was passed on, because that's what Terry said, you know, I may not be able to finish the Marathon of Hope, but it better continue without me. And so Mom, along with Mr. Sharp, president of Four Seasons Hotels, and a bunch of others, were responsible for the continuation and the Terry Fox run. But I didn't join until 1990. And as you just perhaps alluded to, I had to I think, make the decision that if I'm in, I'm in, and I'm fully in. And it was never something that was forced on any of us as members of the Terry Fox family. Mom was hopeful and Dad was hopeful that we would somehow play a role at some point, but it had to come because we wanted it. And I've never looked back when I made that decision in 1990, and I became the executive or provincial director in BC. And it's been quite an enjoyable experience, understatement of the year, you know, because I get to, again, I get to see Terry's legacy at work every day of my life. I get to see how he touches people, and because he still has that effect on me. I'm still learning from him. You know, I'm a sponge for all things Terry. You know, any times I have, like today, to rekindle, go back there to 1980, I look forward to it. I don't live in the past, but I go back there, and it's and also there's unfinished business, obviously. You know, we've come a long way in the last 40 years in terms of finding the answers to this disease, but it's a long journey. Terry knew that, and we still have a race to finish here.
Yeah, and what would you look at in the future of, like, what are your kind of your next goals moving forward?
Well, as much, and you as an athlete can appreciate this, you're always satisfied with your last performance and how well you did, but you're always looking for improvement. And I think we can do better, you know, as much as I'm pretty proud of the fact that we've collectively raised over $800 million for cancer research, we still could do more. Recently we launched, along with the Terry Fox Foundation, I'm actually the senior advisor at the Terry Fox Research Institute, which we created 13 years ago. The Terry Fox Foundation raises the money for cancer research. TFRI, the acronym for Terry Fox Research Institute, is responsible for allocating the resources in Terry's name to researchers and hospitals and cancer organizations across the country. And we recently launched the Marathon of Hope Cancer Center Network. And it is, you know, what I think we've been doing for the last 40 years in September is gathering for Terry. Terry united a nation for a common cause in 1980. And that's what we do every September. Well, this is now Marathon of Hope Cancer Center Network is an extension of that. We're now bringing not only researchers together from across the country, but all the major hospitals and universities, UBC, Princess Margaret Hospital, CHUM in Montreal, Dalhousie, you name the university that's carrying out research, they're coming together under Marathon of Hope. And the idea is to, you know, big data and genomics, is to the sharing of data. We can't do it alone. Even Princess Margaret, a huge identity and with lots of patients to draw from, cannot do it alone. And that's really exciting, you know, to see how we're coming together. The federal government believed in this direction and precision medicine, which is what we'll be focusing on, to the tune of providing $150 million to the Terry Fox Research Institute. Now, the challenge for us as in our research partners and the foundations of those research partners is we have to raise $150 million. It's a match. And we're not shy of challenges. We have Terry as an example of you know what you can do, one person could do. Imagine what we can do collectively and working together. So that's our challenge right now, is raising $150 million over the next 5 years for the Marathon of Hope.
Oh, that's awesome. I think it's so amazing that Terry had this goal of, yes, raising funds, but also at the same time, it's like that sort of humanistic level of bringing people together, which you look back at the Marathon of Hope, that was the common goal, was to raise money for cancer research and try to solve that problem. But then it's also bringing everyone together, and maybe it's on that level of these people going through a certain amount of loss and having that sort of relatedness, then people can come together. But even now, when you look at the foundation and how it's impacting universities and bringing universities together and making people work more closely together and work towards a common goal, I think is so awesome. And that's always been something that I've been fascinated by, is these sort of projects or organizations who, yeah, they have this common goal of raising money, but on a fundamental level, they're also really trying to bring people together. And I think Terry did that so well. So I wanted to bring us back again to that time of his journey. You witnessed him day in and day out. What was his sort of mindset going through this?
The days were long. I mean, I was exhausted and I wasn't running 42K a day. You know, we were up, Terry would get up every morning at 4:30. And that first half hour, which we would spend driving to where Terry had finished running the night before, was, and again, I think you could relate to this, was when Terry focused and mentally prepared for what lay ahead for him. And, I remember those drives as if they were, you know, yesterday morning, because it was so intense. You know, we would be, Doug and I would be in the, Doug driving me in the passenger seat, Terry would be huddled up in, you know, in his bed, in his sleeping bag, in the fetal position, just, and you could almost cut the tension with the knife. And no one spoke. Doug and I would not share a word unless Terry spoke to us. And we knew, you know, he was a competitor and he was planning and preparing for that day. And it was, I'll never forget the feeling of, you know, when we finally found the spot where Terry had finished running, and the guilt we would feel, Doug and I, because we would stay in that van, that warm, comfortable van, and have to put, you know, Terry would have to get out into whatever conditions greeted him that morning. It didn't matter whether it was minus 10, you know, pouring rain, super hot later in the day, he still got out there and ran. And he did that, you know, for 143 days in a row. So that was something that will always be within and close by. And I can't say since 1980 I've had a bad day, because how can I? I'm lucky and fortunate to be alive and never take anything for granted. Terry's my standard. He's my benchmark. Whenever, again, I feel like I'm having a tough moment or hour or day, I just need to reflect on Terry, who's so close. And he's put things in perspective. And as you say, it's more than just uniting a country. He's offered so much more in terms of values, of giving unconditionally. You know, that's what Terry said in 1980. During the marathon, I'll hope at times he would say, I'm almost glad that I was diagnosed with cancer, because before the diagnosis, I was very self-centered, focused only on what I wanted to accomplish, whether it was excelling up at Simon Fraser University, making the JV basketball team. Those were things that I did solely for myself, but the cancer and seeing the suffering of others woke me up. And I realized that I needed to add something else to my life, and that is giving back. And you already have it, Christine. I've heard you talk about your giving back and charities that you're already involved in. So that's so exciting to hear that, you know, in that Terry's vision has been, and values have been passed on to you.
Well, that's very kind of you to say.
I think it's so interesting how, I don't know if we need people like that. And I personally think that Terry has had such a huge impact on myself. And I even think back of the beginning of my dad's story, which was, he talked about how the initial spark for him, he wouldn't have found unless he went to Hawaii and came across this man that was sitting on the beach, and they just had this conversation. And then my dad looked over and saw that there was a wheelchair in the distance. And as they kept talking, he realized, oh, he was a paraplegic. Mm-hmm. And this guy who they ended up spending like a week together and traveled around, I think it was Maui or something, together. Then this guy had put this sort of like profound impact on him, saying that like he was actually a semi-pro cyclist beforehand and ended up getting hit by a dump truck driver. And the way that this man would talk about his previous life and saying like, you have a gift, just the fact that you can walk and go and cycle, like you need to, this is your, this, that's a gift. And so my dad said that after that experience, he came back to Kingston and bought a bike, because he was like, you know, like, not everybody can bike. And so that was kind of like the first sort of impact that that struck him. And then when he saw that poster of Terry, then it was like, he needed to see just something more. And then it was like, hey, you know what, this is a big deal. And I'm going to use the fact that I can cycle to try to impact this amazing process and journey that Terry was trying to accomplish. So I think of people like that who have had very much impacts on my life. And yeah, it's often out of loss and being able to sort of reflect and see, you know, I have a lot of gratitude for the things that I can do every day. So might as well seize the day and do what I can. And it's interesting because I did want to ask about how Terry was before he got diagnosed and how he was afterwards.
And yeah, and I touched on a little bit, but you know, needless to say, Terry was a very driven individual. He was quite the competitor. But we always say that, you know, in most components of life, he was pretty average. There wasn't anything unusual about him in the, you know, the early years, mm-hmm. except for this this stubbornness and this driven personality that, you know, if he was playing blocks and they would spill, he'd be determined to put them back in the precise same. He always finished what he started. These were skills that he had, but he wasn't a gifted athlete. He was not a gifted student. Nothing came easy for him. But what he realized at a young age is through hard work and that stubbornness and that never give up attitude, that he was doing quite well and he was excelling and actually outperforming his peers. And so he realized how through hard work, how you can really accomplish things in life. And that puts everyone on an equal playing field. Mm-hmm. But again, it wasn't until being diagnosed with cancer and again, seeing the suffering of others that to really changed him and brought something else to his life. He was far from perfect. And whenever we have the opportunity to share the Terry Fox story, when we're speaking to, you know, the next generation, younger kids, that's where we start. Because Terry wouldn't want to be on the pedestal. He disliked that. He felt he was equal with everyone. And you know, that again, this organization and what we do is more than just about fundraising. It's about sharing values of Terry's values. And you know, it's difficult in this day and age when, you know, if you look at the foundation, you'll never see a corporate sponsor aligned with us, because you know, Terry wouldn't sell out to any one specific person. If he can't recognize every individual who gave to foundation on a poster, then no one's recognized. We're all equal, we're all together. And I think by following those values is why those loonies and toonies every year are adding up, you know, between 25 and 30 million every year. So it's a unique way and it's different from how others fundraise. But I think having Terry as an example and his story is important. And, you know, we, like Terry did, he refused lots of money back in 1980 just because he didn't feel that it would be in keeping with the long-term vision he had. And I think, again, I'm biased, really biased here, but I thought he was pretty brilliant in terms of his wisdom, mm-hmm. and his vision for us. And that's all we do. I mean, it's nothing, you know, you reference maybe me having a particular role in this. I'm just one of many. You know, it's a collective effort to eradicate cancer. And but as long as we lead with Terry, I think we're going to be in good shape.
What were some of the ways that he would sort of overcome difficulties along that journey?
Oh, just through persistence and never giving up, and you know, goals were big for Terry. He always set goals, you know, they're how many miles he was going to run in a week. People don't realize, but Terry ran 5,300 kilometers during the marathon of Hope, but he ran over 5,000 kilometers preparing for it. He didn't just start in St. John's without running at all. He prepared, and he prepared over almost over a year. Did he run 26 miles that first day that he trained? Not even close. He ran a quarter of a mile on a dirt track, and here out here in the hometown of Port Coquitlam, BC. And after he ran that one circumference of the track, that 400 meters, he thought of quitting. He thought of giving up because he couldn't believe how difficult and painful it was to run one lap. He couldn't fathom what it'd be like to run, you know, 42K or 26 miles or 104 times around that track to complete that distance. But whenever he thought of quitting, giving up, he needed only to reflect on those that he had left behind in the cancer ward. You know, they lived with pain 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They didn't have a switch. They couldn't stop if they want stop the pain if they wanted to, whereas he could immediately stop running and his pain would immediately go away. So that's always what kept Terry motivated to keep going, to keep pursuing that next goal. And it was always a benchmark. It was always comparing himself to what others were going through. And that always made it quite easy for him to keep going.
His ability to be resilient sounds like a very sort of common value and that sort of determination. I think it is so interesting that he went his sort of, like you talked about, he had these sort of skills beforehand, but it was that sort of vision that changed after going through his experience with cancer.
Christine, he almost said, you know, one of his messages was, don't make the mistake I did. Don't wait for something tragic to happen to you before you can see what you're capable of. You know, you can start today. You can start right now. So don't make the mistake that I did. And that's how, I try to live my life, is I believe that limitations are self-imposed, that we can do anything. You know, I ran for 30 years. Those days are now behind me. I had a running streak of 13 and a half years without taking a day off. Terry was obviously my inspiration. Now, following Garth's vision of riding a bike, that's what I do. I ride bikes. We have an annual fundraiser now. It's called the Terry Fox 360.
Oh, wow.
We started in for the 36th anniversary. We thought it'd be kind of cool to add a zero to it and run 360 kilometers in a day. And we've been having that event every year. Last year we called it the 400 for the 40th, and there were five of us out here in Chilliwack that in just a little over 11 hours we rode 400k, and we raised $160,000 for cancer research. And you know, it was a unique time for us in light of COVID. So it was physical distancing and play. Fortunately, we had a bit of a break during the summer last year, June and July. So we were in a better place, but it was just incredible to see people coming together. They didn't have to ride 400K. There were those that rode, you know, 40K or one trip up to Chilliwack Lake and bike back, which is 80K. But it was just great to see us all coming together for this cause.
Yeah, that's amazing. How has COVID impacted the organization?
Yeah, it was a real challenge. You know, as I shared earlier, one of the things we've been doing for 40 years is coming together in September. You know, it's an extension of the Marathon of Hope is coming together, participating in the annual Terry Fox Run. Well, last year we weren't able to do it. It was a virtual run. So that was hugely challenging for us to pivot and fundraise in a different way, because it had to be primarily and mostly virtual through online fundraising. So that was difficult, especially with our school program. One of the wonderful things that happens every year is schools in September also, and students participate in the annual run and host events, and over 8,000 schools across the country participate in the annual Terry Fox Run. Well, you know, and it, again, I'm going to talk about loonies and toonies adding up. That's where they add up to the school program. Well, we weren't able to have that last year. So that's where we were really hit hard in terms of fundraising, was with our school program. Mm-hmm. And the impact on that is directly impacted on the Research Institute and our ability to support research across this country. And, you know, I don't need to say this, but I will. Cancer isn't taking a time out for COVID, waiting for COVID to pass. It's very prevalent, and cancer patients have suffered immensely during this period because they haven't had access to treatment and so on. And so, you know, we're longing to get out of this, and we're hopeful that this will be a better year for us come September.
I also wanted to ask you about that time of going into Thunder Bay, and that sort of difficulty in having to make that decision to, or what kind of played into making the decision that, okay, we need to go home, essentially.
Well, that was as I shared earlier too, that was a horrible, devastating day. And I guess, you know, I wish I was had a little bit more wisdom back then and recognized that things weren't quite right for Carrie. Mm-hmm. You know, it was interesting in the weeks that preceded the last day, Terry became obsessed with mileage. He wanted to know how far he had run to date. But more importantly, he was focused on how far he still had to get home. And yet we were over 2,000 miles away. So something wasn't right. But Terry's stubbornness and determination and ability somehow to park the pain and keep running kept him going until that last day when it was obvious that he could run no more. And that was difficult. And it was difficult for all of us, obviously. And, you know, I remember pulling up after what I thought was a routine break where Terry would have a glass of water and an orange, and he wasn't there because he'd asked Doug to take him to the hospital. He thought that there was something seriously wrong. So those of us who were part of the entourage went to the hospital, and by the time we got there, it had already been confirmed that that the cancer had returned and was in his lungs. And it was Terry all over again, just like it was in 1977, seeing the good in it, somehow recognizing that this is going to give more meaning to what he just accomplished, and making those around him feel strong, and that, because he knew that we weren't coping well again with this. So he was strong for the rest of us and stated he would, you know, he would do whatever he could to get out there and finish the marathon. But so, tough day. Not a day I like at all. Still 40 years later, I like to just park September 1st and move on to September 2nd and every day after. Those are the days I try and focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't even imagine. And it seems as though, which is kind of the reflection that I made before even having this conversation, which is, and maybe you can touch more on this, is your ability to kind of reconcile with what has gone on is by giving back to this organization day in and day out.
That's it. That's it. Bang on, Christina. That's what it's about. Like I can't change history, and it's always close, and you can hear the trembles right now. You know, it's loss is hard, but at least I'm in a position where I can do something about it. Mm-hmm. Part of the healing process, and it's a forever healing process. This doesn't go away. You've lost someone, a family member, and it's fresh. It's there, but the ability to devote your life to kick cancer in the butt is something that I relish, and I feel grateful that I'm in this position. And I hope I never take it for granted, because, you know, I would be letting Terry down, and that will be the day that I'll, you know, pass it on to the next generation. And that's what's so exciting, looking forward. You know, we're our grandchildren now, mom and dad, and, you know, we're in the process. Fred is the oldest, Judy is the youngest. So there's three Terry's siblings. And now we have 9 grandchildren between us. And, you know, we're in the process now of handing off. We're all members of the identities that bear the Terry Fox name, so we're shareholders. And, you know, it's been great the last 3 years to have 5 of the grandchildren as members. And, you know, we're learning from them. It's been just an incredible opportunity to have them involved in the conversations we have on almost a weekly basis. That's the exciting thing about Terry Fox, is it's ongoing. There's always new projects, new opportunities, books, movies. Those are the things that we focus on. Any sort of opportunities to recognize Terry as something that that the family is responsible for. And you know, they are as passionate as we are about Terry, and like you are, Christina. And they didn't have that opportunity to witness the Marathon of Hope like we did. So it's just really heartwarming to see the run continue in their hands.
Mm-hmm. See those stories get passed on. Speaking of stories, have you had, I can only imagine how many people you have impacted through this organization and foundation, and have there been other stories that have really stood out to you that Terry, as well as yourself, have made a difference on people's lives specifically?
Well, I'm always thinking of those, you know, I guess, you know, Garth as an example, and Jim, you know, that have carried the baton. Like, we can't do it alone. And you know, I look at Jim Terrian Jr. as just one example. Jim is up in Prince Rupert. He was born deaf, and he did his own walk across the country in 1990, and raised money and was inspired by Terry. And from that year onward, since 1991, he's been raising money for the Terry Fox Foundation, and it's incredible to see his commitment to it. He has a map of the community of Prince Rupert. This was in the early, he's now in Prince George, but in the early years, and he would knock on every door in Prince Rupert with his pledge sheet in hand. And if there was no answer, he would come back the next day after his 8-hour workday, collecting donations. Jim Terrian personally has raised over $800,000 over the last 30 years. It's incredible. He has a goal of raising $1 million, and he symbolizes what Terry was all about. And his stories like that, that I truly admire, the people that are willing to go beyond to help cancer patients in Terry's name.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. That's yeah, it's very special. And I feel like you're able to be around and hear these stories often. And it's such a great way to live out Terry's legacy. So it's a very beautiful thing. Goodness, I think that's kind of the bulk of what I wanted to hit. If you can think of anything else or any other insights on that Terry has blessed you with, or that you kind of carry on throughout your daily basis or in your life, that you could share on?
I think I've touched on everything. I think I've expressed how lucky and fortunate I am that I wake up every morning thinking this is my last day and I want to get the most out of it. So that's a gift that Terry gave me, and one I think we need to continually remind ourselves of whenever moments are rough and tough, because that's part of life. Is, you know, it's a rocky road at times. There'll always be challenges, and it's how you deal and cope with challenges is how you truly define yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm still learning that. Like, I am, I still find myself, you know, falling away at times and not recognizing how lucky I am to have this ability to live and, you know, for the most part, be health. I've not had any health issues and so on. So it's a gift, and we take it for granted. Terry didn't, and let's help others in the process. That's the whole message of Terry, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Amazing, thank you. Thank you so much, Carol.
Thanks, Christina. It was great.
Awesome.
Wow, what an amazing person. I keep thinking about the kind of devotion and the way that Daryl has decided to live his life, and I don't know, I'm just left with complete gratitude. So thank you so much, Daryl. I think we can all take inspiration from you and realize that every day is such a gift when you're living. And thank you to my systems engineer, Cindy Payne, Claire Briand for background music, and once again, thank you to all of you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Next episode will go live March 8th, where I'll be sitting down with Olympic gold medalist Ben Rutledge. So stay tuned, enjoy the day, and go get after it. Thanks, everyone.